You're listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today, I have a number of updates on Obamacare. I was really trying not to do a show on Obamacare. But more and more information is coming out, and it doesn't look good for anybody. You got to keep in mind, most of the news you're hearing right now is focused on the individual market. And what do I mean by that? If you look at the health insurance industry, you have a number of segments. First, at the very top, where you have large corporations, many, if not most, large corporations self-insure. There's no insurance company involved. And that's usually a company, I would say 100 or more employees is typically when they start looking into self-insurance. But that's fairly common with very large companies. They can self-insure, and they do self-insure. What they might also do is have an insurance company administer their self-insurance. And that's fairly common as well. Some will do the whole thing. They will not only self-insure, they will administer it. Other companies will self-insure, which means they will pay the claims. So, and the reason they do that is because they have the cash flow, they're a stable company, and they have a good idea of their labor force. And because they can spread the risk, remember, health insurance is nothing more than pooling of risk, where you know out of every 100 people, maybe one, if that, will have a serious large claim. A few will have small. And most of the people in your workforce will have either none or really minor claims. So instead of paying insurance company premiums, what large companies do is pay. They self-insure. They will pay the claims. And what some companies will do, especially on the smaller end, will let the insurance company administer that. And they're going to, obviously, the insurance company is in the business to make money. So, yes, they're going to charge them some money to do the administration and have the networks set up that your people can go to. So there's a fee involved. But the actual paying of the claims comes from the company. Now, in some cases, for companies that are smaller, what you have is kind of a sharing type situation where part of it's self-insured and part of it's insurance. And usually it's the catastrophic end that's insured. I don't want to make it too complicated, but you need to understand the whole industry first and what's happening. So the self-insured companies, the large companies, it's not that they're going to be affected, because they are being affected. Even if they're self-insuring, they are being affected right now. For example, all plans, individual as well as group, can have a lifetime maximum. Now, when I was in the business many years ago, I sold a comprehensive medical plan from a major insurance company, and was one of the best in the industry, what today would be called a Cadillac plan. And they didn't have a lifetime maximum. It was unlimited. That's what it said on their proposal. Lifetime maximum unlimited. Now, that means you're going to pay for that. It's a small risk, but what that means is if you, let's say, had a huge claim, and we're talking millions of dollars, it's covered. And that's why it's a very good plan. Now, some companies would have a $5 million lifetime maximum. Some would have $3 million. Some would have $1 million. Obviously, the lower the lifetime maximum, the less risk that the potential risk the insurance company has. So everything you have in your plan can affect the price of the plan. And insurers, they're in the business to sell plans that companies want. And in the marketplace, especially for group insurance, there were companies that wanted a very, very good plan. So you would have companies that would have unlimited or $5 million. Either one is fine with me. Now, when you got down to $1 million, I started to point that out because there are competitors that would have $1 million maximum. But for businesses starting out where money is tight, affordability is always a key criteria in terms of which plan a business owner picks. Now, the reason why I'm getting into the business insurance, that's where most Americans have their coverage. And that's why you need to understand it. And everybody is being affected. And the reason why I'm getting into this, a lot of people don't think it's impacting them because they don't have individual coverage. They listen to the newscast and they say, okay, what I'm hearing is there are roughly 19 million plus, a little over 19 million people that have individual health insurance. They went out on their own and bought it either them for themselves, or if it's a couple, both of them, or a family. That's been around for years. That's nothing new. And that's why you have approximately 19 million people buying those plans, because they're not working for a company or another business. Many of them are self-employed. It could be a writer. It could be, no, I should have said this. I was self-employed and had this type of coverage once. It's ideal for the small one or two man operation, where instead of getting, because they don't have employees, where you're running a business and you don't have employees other than yourself or maybe your partner, it makes sense to buy individual coverage. Now, you got to keep in mind, and I've said it in past shows, up until now, individual coverage is medically underwritten. In other words, you had to ask questions. But the focus right now in the news is for all the people that have individual coverage that are getting letters from their insurance company notifying that as of 1 January, you don't have a plan. Now, what many insurance companies are doing, and it's, I won't say a loophole, but it's sort of something that if your company offers it to you and you have an existing plan, I would definitely take, is they, you can keep the plan, or if you change the anniversary date of your policy. See, both group and individual coverage have anniversary dates. Think of it as a renewal date. It's just like in car insurance, rentals insurance. You know, for example, my rental insurance in 2 weeks is up for renewal. I have a letter on my desk that has the premiums. So on your anniversary, and usually it's a couple of weeks before the anniversary, you're going to get any changes in the plan as well as a notice, has your premiums gone up or down. And believe me, some of them go down. It's not necessarily it has to go up. Depends on the claim experience. Mine actually went down, but not health insurance. This is renter's insurance because I didn't have a claim. And it doesn't totally surprise me because a lot of the claims on, well, not a lot. Some of the claims are for people that, you know, the first time renters. So you don't really have any history on them. And they can potentially be a high claim situation. That's an aside. The point I'm trying to make is you can, some of the carriers, not all the carriers, but some of your largest carriers, what they're doing is recommending that you change your anniversary date. You know, your anniversary date might be 1 October or 1 November or 1 December or 1 January. You usually get the letter 30 to 60 days prior to the anniversary date. So if you're getting those letters, some of the companies will be offering you the option, and I strongly recommend you take it, is to extend your anniversary date to 1 December of next year. So you get a little breathing room. You get 11-month extension, if you will, by changing the anniversary date. That doesn't mean you can keep your plan. It does not mean you can keep your plan. You're going to lose it next year on 1 December. But you're not under the gun right now to rush out and try to get individual coverage at one of these exchanges. And the exchanges are down. They have serious security problems. I was listening to the radio last night because I listened to a lot of talk shows trying to get a feel for, are they still covering Obamacare or what else they're covering? Because I really would like to cover something else. But I'm scheduled, for example, to be on the local television. We have a television studio here, and one of the television people wants to do a show on Obamacare, and they want people that are both for and against Obamacare. And I'm more than willing to volunteer because I'm fairly knowledgeable about it and can talk about it. Now, here going, that's sort of a detour, sort of an announcement, if you will. It is an announcement. That'll probably be out sometime next week We do actually have a blog that has not only our radio station, but our television, where we periodically update it and have segments, videos that have been shot. Some are in the studio, some are outside of the studio. This will be strictly in the studio talk show on Obamacare, by people that supposedly are knowledgeable about Obamacare, both for and against. My problem has been, and I've talked to several people, most people just aren't knowledgeable about it. And the reason for it is they don't have individual coverage. They have it through their employer, if they have it at all, or they're young and they don't care. Their parents, they're on their parents. Typically, they're on their parents' coverages. So they don't have any skin in the game yet, even though it's going to affect them, because they're going to be forced at some point to buy their own coverage. And see, what's happening is a lot of insurance companies, because one of the things that the regulations are doing is enforce insurance companies to extend the age in which children can be on their coverages from 21 to 26. Well, some insurance companies are saying, no, we don't want that provision, and they're getting out of the market. And that's what some of the major large corporations that are in the health insurance business are doing. They're not jumping in on this or being very selective. Why? They think, and I think, what you're going to get initially are people that, first of all, have pre-existing conditions, serious pre-existing conditions, and you're going to get, and it's adverse selection. The sickest people are going to be the first ones to sign up. In other words, you're going to get a lot of claims from that first group. So the insurance companies, that's a no-no. You don't want to design a plan where, and offer it to sell it, and you get people that are sick. That's unprofitable. You know, they're not a charity. They're not going to lose money. So many insurance companies have withdrawn from markets. Now, not every market. They might be selective in the markets they're going to serve. Some don't have the luxury and are committed to it. That's their choice, too. I really think Obamacare is going to fail big time because it's predicated on the assumption of getting young people paying for health insurance. And you got to keep in mind there have been employment consequences, or really unemployment consequences, of Obamacare. The teenage unemployment rate is over 20%. People are having problems finding full-time jobs, and it's primarily the people that are unskilled and young. And because of that, the best they can do today is find a low-paid part-time job. And what does that mean? They can't afford Obamacare, even with the subsidies. They can't afford it. So what many of these people will do is nothing. They won't pay the penalty, and they won't buy the insurance coverage. And supposedly the government's own number is they need 7 million young people. Well, they need 7 million people to sign up on the exchanges by March. I don't think it's going to happen. And they say the site will be fixed by the end of November. Good luck, because I was listening, like I said, I was beginning to, before I got a little distracted, I was listening to the radio. And one caller, well, this was in the news, excuse me, it wasn't a call, and this was actually on the news. There was an attorney that set up as an account with all his information and then found out someone emailed him and said, I got your information. I've been trying to enroll, and initially the attorney didn't believe it. And this was not a crook. This was an honest person trying to tell the attorney, I've gotten your information. I don't know how, but I got it. So he emailed the information to the attorney, and guess what? He did have it. There's security issues, folks. This site is dangerous. It's an inviting target for identity fraud and getting information about you. That's why I say stay off of it. There's no point going to it now. Everything I hear, it's down. And maybe it's down for the count. You know, usually they'll have some fixes, patch it, and then move on, test it. But for your own security, don't go there. And if you can, if at all possible, don't buy this. Because what you're going to ultimately find out when you go to this site is you're going to be paying a considerably higher premium as well as higher deductibles. Where most people might have $1,000 or $1,500 deductible, for example, they're finding they have $5,000, $6,500 deductibles. That's a jump of 3 to 4 times their current deductible or more. And that's the part that really needs to get a lot of attention. It's getting some attention, but really is getting a lot of attention. That is stopping people. And then they notice that you can't, it's not something you can hide. The premium is almost invariably higher, significantly higher. 25% is the low end. Most are 50 to 100% higher or more per month. Most people have budgets, unlike the federal government that doesn't have a budget. Most people budget, and they have a plan that fits within their budget. Now, what tends to happen is people's situation change. Sometimes they get promoted, get a new job, more money, and they can't afford it. Other times, they're not getting pay raises. In the worst case, they're becoming unemployed. And when you have a couple where before you had two paychecks coming in, now you only have one, and now you're getting a real increase in the premiums, you can't afford it. And what they're finding is the premiums are higher, the deductibles are higher, and for many of them, the plan narrows their choice of network. Many, I would say almost all, in terms of hospital and healthcare providers that you can go to. In other words, the product, Obamacare, no matter which plan you select, there are a number of choices there, bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. But the conclusion for most people is, I don't like this. I want to keep what I have. Can I keep what I have? And the answer is, no, you can't. And it's not because the insurance companies want to cancel your plan. The only reason they're canceling your plan is because the federal government wrote regulations to make it impossible for them to offer your plan. Your plan, existing plan, whatever it is, however happy you are, does not meet the criteria. They call it standards, and they're playing with words here. What the federal government has done, what the bureaucrats in Washington have done, are pile on benefits upon benefits upon benefits, many of them which you don't want. For example, if you're a single man, you don't want maternity coverage. In my case, I don't want maternity coverage. I don't need paternity, pediatric care, dental care, for example. I don't want mental health services. I don't want it. I've never used it in my life. I never used maternity. I never used mental health. I don't even want any drug counseling, contraceptives. In other words, the product that you're forcing me and other people into, I don't want that. It's like telling a person, you have to have this car, a certain type of car. And you say, well, it's a very nice car, but I don't need it. I can't afford it. You see, that's the arrogance of these Washington bureaucrats. It's sheer arrogance. They think they know better than you do. You're too stupid. That's what they're saying. They don't come out and say it, but that is really what you're too stupid to decide what's best for you. We are going to decide what's best for you. And if you don't like it, take a walk, because we're going to force you to buy this. Well, what millions of Americans in the individual market are finding, they don't like it. They're mad. And they will vote their pocketbook. And they will complain. And this has been on the news night after night after night. This is a disaster, folks. The website is just the first step. What's real, if it were just the website, that ultimately will get fixed. I don't think it'll be fixed for at least 6 months to a year, if ever, because I think it's going to collapse by then. And I think the insurance companies that decided to sit this one out and withdraw from the individual market are making the smart move, because I think you're going to get massive adverse selection. Because if you think about it, the people that have health insurance now, but have a serious pre-existing condition, they are the ones most motivated to quickly find another plan. And it'll probably be more expensive than what they have now. But they need to get it because they know they're going to have claims. And I think that's going to be a large percentage, if not a majority, of the people signing up. See, I fully expect you're going to get enrollment in these plans. I don't think you're going to hit 7 million, though, because that requires about 39,000 people signing up each day, and they're losing, for all practical purposes, they lost 60 days. I'm sure they have some people that have actually made it through all the gauntlet to signing up. But if you're smart, really you're hoping and praying that sometime in December that the security problems are cleared up, because that's when you're going to have to switch. What I hope happens, and I think Congress should do this, is in essence, and this is what the Republicans have been asking, the Democrats I think are going to suddenly change their tune. This is such a disaster that the responsible thing to do is say, instead of the effective date of Obamacare being 1 January of 2014, make it 1 January of 2015. Now, that requires the Democrats to ask, because that's what the Republicans have been trying to do for months. It's Obama and the Democrats, especially in the Senate and the House, that don't like that. But I think what they're seeing is there's a political angle to this, and people are unhappy. Now, it's bigger than the individual market. Right now, what's really getting a lot of people's attention is the individual market. But your group insurance, for those that don't worry about it, and most, there are approximately 189 million Americans that have private insurance. Most of that is group insurance. It's either group insurance, or they work for a large company that's self-insured, or they have individual insurance. And that's about, individual insurance is about roughly 10%. You have a little over 19 million people that actually have individual medical coverage. And I've seen a number of estimates, but roughly 15 to 16 million of those 19 million either have lost or will, or in the process of losing their existing plans. Some of the individual plans will be grandfathered in, but over time, and when I mean time, within the next 12 months, many of those will also lose their status. Like I said, some of the carriers, if you change your anniversary date to December 1st, you can extend your plan through 1 December of 2014. But at that point, you're going to have to go to the exchange. So you have some breathing room. But eventually, all 19 million are going to have to buy on the exchange. That's their only choice. Or not buy it, which also is their choice. And many of the young simply won't play the game. You see, what does Obamacare about? Let's cut through all the details and the numbers. What is Obamacare about? It is forcing young people, men and women, especially men, anywhere from age 18 to 29, in some cases older, but that's the group that they're really targeting, to force them to buy health insurance, to have health insurance, either buy individual insurance or be covered through an employer group plan, which I'll get back to in a minute. The problem you have right now is an employment situation where you've had negative consequences of Obamacare being people are having trouble finding permanent full-time jobs. To the extent that they can find any jobs, it's a part-time job, typically working less than 30 hours a week, and it's a low-skill job. So they're not, A, they're working shorter hours, less than 30, many cases 20 or less. Now, some people will get 2 part-time jobs to try to get to 40, but here's the problem. They don't get any health insurance if they have to do that. So many young people are either not working, or if they are working, they have part-time jobs where they have fewer hours and they don't make much money. And because of that, they don't have the money to buy health insurance. And they don't want to buy it because they know, as I do and the government knows, for example, young males in that age group have very, very few health insurance claims. It's not that they don't have none. People do have the flu or a cold and might have to go to the doctor for a broken arm or a skinned knee or a twisted ankle. It's not that they have zero need for doctor care, but to the extent that they have any, it's usually small. Think of it as a small claim. It's a doctor visit, maybe some medication, maybe a minor operation. What are we talking about? Maybe a couple $100s or at most $1,000. So they know that and say, listen, I don't have the money to spend on health insurance. I'm going to take a risk. And if I need to go to the doctor, I'll pay it out of my own pocket. And see, there's the problem. The whole idea of the goal of Obamacare was to force young people onto the exchanges, to force them to buy insurance. And the reason why some, not all, but many, especially your large insurance companies, went along with this, they saw a potential to sell tens of millions of additional insurance policies for young people. Millions, tens to millions. Some are going to be on group, but some will be on individual. Now, if that doesn't happen, if we have adverse selection, in other words, the young people don't enroll and the sick people do enroll, people with pre-existing conditions or people that are sicker or older enroll and the young don't, then what do you think is going to happen a year from now when the renewal notices go out? The premiums are going to go up. They're going to go up. And if it's really bad, I wouldn't be surprised if insurance companies withdraw. They see the experience and say, this is not actuarially sound. We're not getting enough young people enrolled in the plans to offset the adverse selection of large claims from sick people with pre-existing conditions. See, the idea was to force young people to buy insurance so their premium dollars would largely go, not entirely, but largely go to subsidize people with pre-existing conditions as well as people that are sicker and older. Now, what's wrong with that? Usually it's older people that are making the higher salaries and hourly wages. They can afford Obamacare, but many of them don't have to buy it. Most are in work for companies that either are self-insured, the very large companies, or work for companies that either have a large group plan or a so-called small, and small I mean under 100. In other words, their employer provides at least, usually pays 100%, some might pay 80%, but most employers will pay 100% for their employee, and some will pay 100% for their spouses, or maybe it's a split of 50-50. So most of the older employees that are making the money are covered by their employer's group plan. Now, here's the thing to keep in mind. Most people are satisfied with their insurance, whether it's a group plan through an employer or through an individual plan. Let me say it again. Most people are satisfied. Now, they may not like their insurance carrier, and maybe they want some benefits that their plan doesn't cover. But the overwhelming, there have been surveys of this year after year after year. Anywhere from 85 to 90% or higher like or satisfied with their health insurance. And remember, 189 million people are covered through insurance. That's a lot of people. And most of them were happy with what they had. Yet, we have the government intervening in the private sector, changing all that. Now, what was the reason given for that change? What did they want to do? What was the story that was told? Very simple. We have about 40 million or 45 million people that are uninsured, and we have to insure these people. Now, notice I said they don't have health insurance. That's uninsured. I didn't say they don't have access to health care, because they do. If you go to an emergency room or a hospital, and let's say you have an emergency, they have to treat you by law. Doesn't mean they want to, but they have to. And yeah, they're going to ask, do you have insurance? And depending on the nature of the condition, you might have to wait, but they have to treat you. They still have to do it today. Now, I've done this in past shows, but I'll break it down. When you look closely at those numbers, about 10 million of those 40 to 45 million were illegal aliens, people that were born in other countries that don't have insurance. And when this was pointed out quickly, the number was no longer 40 million or 45 million. It was 30 million. Because the American people said to their politicians, we're not paying for illegal aliens. Many of these people are unemployed, and they're saying, by God, I'm not going to be paying for someone that's taking jobs here, and you want me to pay for his health insurance? So that was thrown out. If you're illegal alien, you're not supposed to get coverage under Obamacare. Now, I'm not saying many of them won't, but that's the reality. So we're down to roughly 30 million people that are uninsured. That's the scope of the problem. And that was roughly 10%. If you want to use the larger number, there were somewhere between 10% and 15, 15% of the U.S. population that was not covered. Now, why weren't they not covered, and what were their alternatives? About 10 million were poor people that had coverage through Medicaid in their states. Now, many of them simply did not take advantage of that, and that, frankly, is their problem. Now, I know if they're sick enough or injured enough, they are going to get on Medicaid. They're going to knock on doors and eventually get it. But I don't think it's the American people's problem when you already have that addressed. And I need to add, a large percentage of the people that are signing up today for Obamacare are really not, they're not being accepted because of their income is below the poverty line. Either they're making no income or very little income, and because of that, they qualify for Medicaid. That's health care for the poor, the indigent. And that was roughly 10 million people, approximately. So originally it was 40, down to 30, now down to 20. Now, what's the number one reason most people don't have health care today? They're between jobs. Either they're unemployed or they're between jobs. They're unemployed and expect to get a job. They're looking for a job. That's the primary reason most people don't have health insurance. As well as they can't afford health insurance, they're unemployed. To the extent you have economic policies that reduce the unemployment rate down from 7.2% to under near full employment of between 3 and 4%, what happens? They become employed full-time, and guess what? Most businesses will cover them with health insurance. You see, the focus should not have been on Obamacare. That was a huge strategic error, because what has been the result of Obama's stimulus package and Obamacare together? Persistently high unemployment rates, over 7%, through his entire administration. He'll be lucky to get it under 7% by next year, because I'm fairly certain we're going to go into another recession. And once we do, the unemployment rates will shoot right back up. What he should have done and didn't do is focus like a laser beam and getting that unemployment rate below 4%, ideally below 3%. If he did that, what immediately happens? A large percentage of the people that don't have health insurance would get a job and have health insurance. So instead of 30 million, excluding the illegal aliens, you could have cut it probably by half if you focused on economic policies that would increase the growth rate and in turn increase the number of people employed. That wasn't done. They had stimulus package for all practical purposes. Whether it was George Bush's stimulus package or Obama's stimulus package, they don't work. It's like taking water out of the deep end of the pool. Think of it as the private sector. Take water out, then go down in the shallow part and pour the water in. Have you raised the water in the pool? No, you haven't. But that's what stimulus packages are. The money has to come. The resources or the money have to come from where? The private sector. And that's where the most jobs are created, in the private sector, by new small businesses and expanding small businesses. You want increased business formation. You want increased capital formation. And where you have that, and that requires confidence and a reduction of uncertainty. Instead, we've had an increase in uncertainty in a number of areas, one being the implementation of a huge stimulus package, followed right behind it by Obamacare, a major tax increase, a major increase in entitlement programs. We also had tax increases, and we've had government spending, for all practical purposes, out of control. That is a formula. That's uncertainty. And the reaction of any business owner to uncertainty is they delay, delay, and delay making decisions. They're afraid, and legitimately afraid. The economy could go in another recession. I want to be one of the survivors. I got to cut back. I maybe want to expand my business, but I don't know the cost of doing business. And one of the major costs of doing business is Obamacare. And see, what's happening is, and it'll happen over the next year, that what's already happened and is happening as we speak to the individual market is going to happen to the group insurance market, whether it's for a large company or a so-called small group company. And what it means to them is premiums are going to be significantly going up. They already are. Because like I said, the lifetime, there are no longer lifetime maximums. So if you currently have a small group plan, that is a required change to your plan. And that means more premium. Not a lot, but it does mean more premium. Depending on the size of your company, maybe 1, 2%, maybe a little bit more. But 1 and 2% add up. Then you have a lot of the essential services that you're going to have to be including. That adds up. You see, what's going to happen is this. Many of your businesses are going to say this. I'll pay the tax penalty. And then I'll tell my employees, you're on your own. Go to the exchange. What some of the employers will do, the nice employers, the good guys, is say, listen, before I was paying on average, let's say $300 a month, $3,600 a year for health insurance, I will pay you monthly an additional $300, and you can do with that money as you see fit. And what that means is employees are going to be forced onto the exchanges. And that's going to affect over 100 million people. Over 100 million people. They're going to lose their coverage. Not all at once, but over the next year. They've already been. Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act is already impacting their existing plan. But the full impact will be a year from now when the business owners see how much they're going to have to pay for health insurance for their groups. And just like the individual market, they're going to have to pay a lot more money. It's going to vary from company to company. Because keep in mind, companies are different sizes, different makeups. Many of them could be all men, many be all women. There are different mixes, different age groups, different risk in terms of the industry, different size companies. All that is already, if you will, priced into their existing plans. Now on top of it, they're going to have to comply with Obamacare, and it's going to make it more expensive. There's no way around that. It's not going to be cheaper. Overwhelming majority is going to be more expensive. And what is going to happen? Many of those business owners, not all, but many will say, I'm washing my hands of it. And that's really what they want. That's what the federal government wants. It is forcing you to buy individual coverage, one of these four plans, on the exchanges. They want to control your life. They want to limit your choice. Because ultimately what they want is single payer, where the single payer is the United States government. That's what all this is about. It's to get you on a single payer plan. Now where it's going to backfire big time is the fact they've already had problem launching the website. They already have the public relations nightmare of seeing stories every night, whether it's on television or the radio. And you've heard them. I've heard them. There's one, let me say this. I have a companion blog to this radio show, prankpops.wordpress.com. That's prankpops, prankpops.wordpress.com. For new listeners, at the very top, you'll have links to my past shows. The most recent shows are at the top, and then you have a complete archive of all my past shows. But below that, I have typically YouTube videos, photographs, charts, and articles. And one article that's getting a lot of attention is a lady is a stage 4 cancer survivor. She had an excellent health care plan from the largest insurance company in the United States. It was canceled, or will be canceled, effective 1 January. And the problem is, because she had cancer, her doctor treating her for the cancer, the specialist, was in Stanford University, which is in Northern California. She lives in Southern California, and that's where her primary care provider is. Now, under her existing plan, which she likes, it's not cheap, but she likes and wants to keep it, it worked for her because she had a PPO, a preferred provider organization. And see, under existing law, until Obamacare came in, you could have a network where you could have doctors in other counties. You know, you can be in the Los Angeles area or Southern California, yet you could be treated, and that's where your primary care and hospital is for emergencies, but for the actual treatment of cancer, she could go to Stanford University in Northern California, and her plan covered it. That's why she's happy with it. Her plan not only went up a lot of money, and you can read the article, I'm not going to get into it, but it went up significantly, and here's the rub, and here's a detail you need to be careful. Now, this is California, but my understanding of the Obamacare regulations is your network has to be in one county. One county. In other words, you can't have your doctor and hospital in more than one county. Prior to that, it was across the state. You see, what they're doing, what the federal government is doing, is eliminating competition. Eliminating competition. And also narrowing your choice of plans. They're not increasing competition, which means more insurance carriers, more plans, more competition for your business. No, they're eliminating competition. And they're eliminating the number of doctors and hospitals you can go to. They're dictating to you what health care you can have. It's not consumer sovereignty. This is the government acting like a dictator, acting like a tyrant, limiting your choices, telling you what you must buy with your own money. And what people are finding out is they don't want to buy it. It's more expensive with higher deductibles. And what matters for them, for example, this lady, is not addressed. The plan is not designed for her. She doesn't want one of these plans. And the closest she can come to it cost us a lot more money and would not cover her doctor, her specialist in Stanford that she's happy with. That saved her life. See, people will die as a result of Obamacare. You can bet on it. You can bet on it. You see, what I object to is we had a small problem. We had 30 million uninsured. Many of them, 10 million, already have Medicaid. And of the remaining 20 million, about half of them could afford it and elected not to buy. That's their choice. So you get right down to it. There may be 10 million people that are uninsured, that don't qualify for Medicaid and don't have the money to buy insurance. We are now totally redoing the health insurance marketplace, and it's also impacting doctors and hospitals. I'll get to that on another show. We're eliminating competition. Now, here's the irony. We started with 30 million, and I really think the problem is 10. But let's, for a minute, accept 30 million. What is going to be the impact of Obamacare? There are studies, people looking at it right now, that are estimating upwards of 50 million people. Some in the individual that are now in the individual market, as well as people in the group market, are going to be uninsured. They're not going to buy it. Instead of reducing the number of uninsured, we're actually going to increase it, significantly increase it, and in the process, ruin the lives of millions of Americans. A million people are mad out there. Mad. The website is just how should I say that? That's the first aggravation. What they're really upset about is they've been lied to. This Obama lied to us. And many of them are his own supporters. And they knew they were lying. They actually had meetings discussing, well, should we tell them the truth or should we lie? And guess what? They decided to lie. And the president said over and over and over and over again, you can keep your plan, period. You can keep your doctor, period. Your premiums will go down for a family of four by $2,500. Lie, lie, lie. The American people remember that, and they're mad about it. They don't like him anymore. President Obama's popularity is at a low-time low of 40%, and it's heading south. I think by the end of the year, he'll be lucky if he's in the 30% range. He was upwards when he took office, I think at 69 or 70%. He's going down, folks. He's a lame duck and he don't even know it. He's a dead duck for this simple reason. The American people have had it up to here. They heard his other promises, their taxes would not go up one dime if you make less than $250,000. Not one dime, whether it's personal income taxes or your capital gain. No, you will not have a tax increase. Well, guess what? This is a tax increase. Because if you don't buy it, you have to pay a penalty. And you're going to have, many of you will say, well, I have to buy it. No, you technically, you do not have to buy it. The Supreme Court made it very clear that the federal government cannot force you to buy insurance. The problem for many people, including this lady that had stage 4 cancer, is they know they need coverage. They have to buy it. Many of your young people will take a calculated risk, but a fairly good bet, not to buy coverage because they know they have the money for the small stuff. The doctor's visits or their broken arm or twisted ankle, they can live with that. They can even live with a couple of $1,000 bill because realistically, that's most likely the biggest bills that I'll have. Because statistically, most of your largest claims will be the last year of your life by far. Problem is you don't know what that is. But for most people, it's when they're in their 70s or 80s, when they have heart attacks, cancer, stroke. That's when they're going to have the big bills. That's why medical insurance, for as you get older, your medical insurance gets more and more expensive. So what's happening is more and more you're going to get information on how this is impacting small businesses. I know some of you have tuned this out in the sense that you say, well, I'm working for a company. I have good group health insurance. My employer says he's still going to offer it. Well, maybe for now he might. But maybe a year from now you'll face the same situation. Because, listen, in ballpark figures, there's about 20 million people, slightly less than 20 million people, that currently have individual health insurance. But the estimates I'm seeing is upward of 50 million or more will actually lose their coverage and won't have coverage. So the number of uninsured will dramatically go up. And that's supposedly what Obamacare was addressing. I don't agree with the solution. I don't agree with the way he went about it. Totally against Obamacare. They don't know what they're doing. They're incompetent. All they want is single payer. That's their holy grail. They want to replace all the insurance companies and have the government run it. It doesn't. If they can't run a simple website, yes, I know this website has to handle hundreds of millions of people, but if you can't get that front-end piece right and millions more people are going to be uninsured with this, you see, the miscalculation here is, we don't want single payer. You guys screwed this up big time. These health exchanges are not working. They're not working because the American people can't afford it. And don't tell me about subsidies, because all that is you're taking a gun to someone's, going to someone's house, saying, guess what? Your neighbor can't pay for health insurance, so give me $3,000 so I can take it from you and give it to him. That's called wealth redistribution. That's what we're talking about here. Using the government to steal money from people. That's what this is. Don't be fooled. Well, the government will give you a subsidy or a credit. Where is that coming from? It's coming from your neighbors. And I say, listen, if health insurance is that important to you, get a job and buy it. You know, if you need a car, get a job and buy it. If you need home insurance, get a job and buy it. If you're worried about your family in case you die, get a job and buy life insurance. Do I expect the government to subsidize me? Unfortunately, there is an increasing group that are dependent on the government. The only thing that the progressives have done is made more and more people dependent on the government. Have they raised the standard of living much? No, they haven't. Have they reduced the unemployment rate much? No, they haven't. They've been a failure. Because if we were at full employment, at less than 3% unemployment rate, most people today in the United States would have a job And with that job, a good paying job, they could buy what they want, whether it's health insurance, a new car, a vacation, a new house, money to send their children to college. We need an economy that's growing at 4, 5, and 6%. And we're never going to get there as long as we have a group of people, primarily in the Democratic Party, but there's some in the Republican as well, that think the answer to every problem is a government program. We need to pass a new law, and we need to have a new government program like Obamacare. Hasn't worked out very good, has it? Has the stimulus package worked? No, whether it was done under Bush or Obama. Has Obamacare worked? No. It's just an expansion of entitlements. That's another word for saying making more people dependent on government. That's what we're talking about. What? You have a group of professional politicians, career politicians, that want to make more and more people dependent on the government. So you vote for them. So they can act like Santa Claus and say, we're going to provide you some subsidies. What you should say is, wait a minute. I don't want subsidies. I don't want a handout. I don't want food stamps. I don't want welfare. What I want is a good paying job. And that's what the overwhelming majority of American people want, a good paying job. And they're demanding it. And they're seeing the economic consequences of Obamacare, and they don't like it. And it's only a matter of time that more and more people don't like it, and it's going to have a political consequence, and that is going to be a year from now. Remember, Election Day is November 4th, 1 year from now, and there's going to be a backlash. And we might see an indication of that tomorrow, because there's a governor's race that's getting a lot of attention, and that's in Virginia, where we have the Democrat is all for Obamacare, and they're pouring tons of money into his campaign. Obama has gone to campaign for him, so is Hillary Clinton. And it looks like the Republican candidate has a chance of winning. We'll see. It is really very much a referendum on Obamacare, and they're trying to make it that, and they're trying to trash this gentleman. It's disgusting what the Democratic Party is doing in Virginia. They're desperate, folks, because they know if a Republican wins the governor's office in Virginia, that is a solid indication that the American people don't want any part of Obamacare. Now, part of the problem is this is not an election year. There are elections. You're having one in New Jersey, where I think Christie will win. And I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I don't particularly care for Christie. Many Republicans do. I don't. I'm not a Republican or Democrat. And I do care who wins for the simple reason the sooner we can get rid of Obamacare, the better in terms of an economic recovery. And that means more and more jobs, especially for young people on college campuses when they graduate. Because who is really being hurt here? Who's being screwed? It's the young people. The young people. They've been forced to buy this insurance to really subsidize or share with people that are older and sicker and have pre-existing conditions. That's what it's about. Cut all the BS. That, in essence, is what this is about. Force young people to buy health insurance. That's not the government's job. That's limiting freedom and liberty. You should have, if you want health insurance, go out and buy it. Get the best plan you can afford. And you could up to now. Now they're narrowing and narrowing and narrowing your choice and making it more and more and more expensive. Why? What is their objective? They want to make sure that they have a monopoly on it, where your only choice will be a government plan. That is their strategy. That is what they're about. And Obama admitted this. There are video clips on YouTube where he says, again, to a union audience, I'm for single payer. That's what I want. And that's what the majority of progressive Democrats want. They don't want Obamacare. This was a stepping stone. And the only reason why they did it this way, that's the only way they could get it passed. And I need to say this, not one Republican
Not one Republican voted for this. The only reason this passed is that for 1 year, actually 2 years, the Democrats had a supermajority in the House and the Senate. But once they passed this, they lost the House, and hopefully next November they'll lose the Senate as well. Because that's what it's going to take to repeal Obamacare. I don't think it's going to be repealed until 2018. That's 5 years from now. And the only way it's going to be repealed is the Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And getting 2 out of 3 isn't going to do it. You're going to need all 3. So it's really the 2016 election that really matters. But the 2014 election is a big one. And what's happening right now? More and more Democrats are saying, well, maybe we should delay it a year. Maybe we should delay it a year. Why are they saying that? Because they have polls that are telling them that Obamacare is a disaster. And they can see Obama's poll numbers plummeting. It's only getting worse. This is just the start of it. Remember, it only had its launch 1 October. Imagine 1 January when more and more people are going to get the letters. They're getting them now, and they'll get them in December as well. And people are going to be very, very upset. They're calling the radio shows. They've been on newscast as well, both television and radio. People are mad because they've been lied to and lied to and lied to. And now they're finding it's going to cost them money. It's going to cost them coverage. And it might even cost them their lives. And they're not happy. They're not happy campers. They're angry. They believe they've been betrayed and deceived, and they're going to react. And we might get a good indication, we might, because remember, the Republican was down over 20 points just 2 weeks ago. So if he pulls it out, that would be a big, big upset, and it would be a large message that Obamacare is killing the Democrats. And remember, they shoved it down our throats. This was not a bipartisan law. Not one single Republican voted for it because they could see the problems. And let me just say this. There are a lot of things that can be done to improve health insurance. Now, one is being able to buy plans in other states. In other words, more competition, more carriers, more plans. Obamacare goes the exact opposite way. It's narrowing your range of choice. And the reason they're doing that, and they're squeezing you, they're narrowing your range of choice in terms of carriers, in terms of plans, in terms of networks, is they want to go single payer. That is their primary objective. That is their goal. They don't want to expand competition. They don't want to give you more choices. They want to narrow competition so where there's no private insurance. See, they're against free markets. They're against free enterprise. They're against capitalism. They ultimately want to go to socialized medicine where you have no choice but the government plan, what I call the lead plan, where they tie lead around your ankles, and when you're real sick, they throw you overboard. Because they'll say, well, come back in 90 days or 6 months, and maybe we'll treat you, because there's a waiting list. And you got to wait 90 days, 60 days, or a year, the so-called death panels. They just wait you out. With that note, you are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening. I hope it's been educational, entertaining, and informative. And I'm really hoping that I have an announcement. Tomorrow, I will not be on the air because we have the Board of Trustees has their monthly meeting, and that preempts my show. So I'll next be on Wednesday at 4 o'clock, as well as Thursday at 4 o'clock, and then on my regular time, 3 to 5 on Friday. That's why this show is a little bit longer than the typical Monday show, is because I won't be broadcasting tomorrow. So I made a decision, I'll give you a complete update on Obamacare, which I think I have, and I encourage you to go to promptpops.wordpress.com to get additional information in terms of videos, and I have some very good articles posted there